David, thank you so much. It's a kavod to be joined by my colleague, Rabbi Schreier, a number of the Rebbetzins in town. It's an incredible kavod, an incredible source for me to join you, the Chevra Kaddishas of our Kehilos, of Bergenfield and Teaneck. It's a schus for me because this gives me, as a Kohen, I can't really participate in the remarkable mitzvah that you do on a regular basis. So at least to join you at the post Shiva Zayin Adar Suda is it's a schus for me. And at the same time tonight we gather with incredible tzar. Today was both in the halachic sense and way beyond. Today was the day of the Shmua. Today was a day of the very difficult Besora Ra, confirmation of the death of Captain Perez, of Daniel Shimon Ben Rav Daron. As has already been noted in Eretz Yisrael and here in America, the Zayin Adar began originally as the day of the Kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu, whose Mekom Kvuraso is not known and remains throughout the last number of decades, a time for a particular focus on Chalalei Tzahal, those Chalalei Tzahal whose kavura is not known. We continue to daven that he zochet to reach Kever Yisrael. It's certainly a day that brings into even sharper relief and sharper appreciation the Chesed Shel Emes that you provide on a regular basis of bringing to Kever Yisrael, bringing those who need Kever Yisrael. Hopefully the words over the next couple of minutes and the ideas will serve as a small Eilui Neshama for Daniel Shimon Ben Rav Daron. Yesterday, the Sedra, we completed Sefer Shmos. We completed Sefer Shmos with the completion of the Mishkan. It was very much a project of the Kehila. And at the same time, there's a focus on the man of the moment. A focus, certainly, on Moshe Rabbeinu. Medrash comments more than once, connects Moshe to Oz V'Hadr Levusha. So that pasuk in Eishes Chayil describes Moshe Rabbeinu as being Oz V'Hadr Levusha, dressed, garbed in strength and beauty. Medrash describes that moment depicted in yesterday's laning when Klal Yisrael present to Moshe Rabbeinu, here's what we've built. Here are all the pieces, the labor of love of the last couple of months. Medrash comments that moment is captured by Oz V'Hadr Levusha. What's the significance for Moshe? What's the significance for us? I want to develop a little bit, based at least in part on an idea of Rav Zevin, who notes that the month that we're in, the month that we associate with Moshe Rabbeinu, the month of Adar, so that word seems to correspond to three different terms. Adar captures Adir, Adar captures Hadar, and Adar captures Eder. Adar captures Adir, strength, Adar captures Hadar, beauty, and Adar captures Eder. Eder Hayakar, the term that's familiar to us from the morning davening in Yom Neroim, the dress, the beautiful garb, all those three ideas of strength, of beauty, and of clothing certainly are Purim ideas, and we'll turn to that in a moment. But they are also Moshe Rabbeinu ideas. Gemara Nedarim, Daf Lamed Ches, derives from various psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu was a man of great strength. Well, it points to the episode we learned about a couple of weeks ago, the strength that was necessary to break the luchos, and that's referenced, according to Rashi, in the closing pasuk of Chumash, in the concept of Yad Chazaka. It took a strong hand. It required incredible physical strength, massive slabs of stone to just toss them down, and it required enormous moral courage. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the most exalted sense, a man of unusual beauty. Parshas Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu's face glowed with such otherworldly beauty that Kalal Yisrael were not able to handle it. And Lavush, in clothing, at the same time Moshe Rabbeinu is described by Chazal as his unique degree of nevuah, his unique degree of communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unlike any other human being before him or since, described as the levusha were stripped away. The covers, the cloaks that would get in the way of a clarity of perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were removed from Moshe Rabbeinu in a way that no other human enjoyed. At the same time, in that episode of the spiritual beauty that's shown from Moshe Rabbeinu's face, Klal Yisrael couldn't handle it, and so he is one of the people described in Tanakh as wearing a masva, as wearing a mask. So the Adir and the Hadar and the Eder. Some of us had the chance over the last couple months to hear Rav Doron Peres speak about his son. And some of us heard him here in America, some of us heard him in Eretz Yisrael. We heard him give us a little bit of a taste of his enormous strength, the Adir, and the incredible, beautiful gentleness, the Hadar. And his neshama is in Shamayim, but his body is as yet cloaked from us. And Purim captures in Adar all those three as well. The Megillah describes itself as a story of Tokef, as is Vatichtov. Esther and Mordechai set down on parchment the strength of the story. It's called Tokef. There was, you see in the Megillah, Kadosh Baruch Hu's hidden strength, and you read between the lines, and you also see the human strength. The human strength of Lo Yichrav Lo Yishtachaveh, the human strength of an Esther who first reaction was to wait and see, and when Mordechai tells her, now is your moment, she turns everything around and steps into an entirely new role. The Megillah tells us of a great beauty. The Megillah highlights that Esther, like her great-great-grandmother Rachel, was a Yefas Toar and a Tovas Mara, like Rachel. Yefas Toar and the Yefas Mara, and doubtlessly it's not only a question, and perhaps not might not even be at all about external beauty, but about an internal beauty. And Purim is definitely a story of levushim. The Megillah itself speaks time and again about levush that conceals and about levush that reveals, and by Mordechai emerges with levush malchus, and that's a sign to Klal Yisrael and to our enemies of how things are going. And throughout the story of Purim, we're meant to look beyond the Levush, beyond the way which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gloves his hand and hides his face, and to read between the lines and discern HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you, our treasured members of the Chevra Kaddishas of Bergenfield and of Tinek, so as I mentioned before, I don't have the opportunity to join you personally in your work. But some of you have shared with me over the years about the great Adir, the great strength that's necessary. Sometimes there are issues of physical strength, and invariably a need for emotional strength and to make those early morning and the late night calls and to roll out of bed, sometimes multiple times over the course of a single night. Tremendous Adir. And the second element of Adir, tremendous Hadar, the delicacy. The delicacy and the gentleness, as David was just describing, the continuing to think and to dream of how we could further be marbe kvod ames, and how we could further marbe sensitivity to v'chaim. And levush, you're there when HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the levush of the neshama. You're there when HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the guf, disconnects temporarily the guf of the neshama. And you're there to provide both figuratively and literally the Eder Hayakar, the Levush of glory, to bring a Jew, to bring the body of the Jewish Neshama to Kavod Achron. I want to close with a timely Rambam, and a comment that I heard from Rabbi Willig about this Rambam more than two decades ago. The Rambam, in a line that has landed and will land in our mailbox many times over these weeks. The Rambam writes that if one has discretionary income and I can afford to spend more than the minimum of the three mitzvos of Purim which require a budget, Sudas Purim, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, so the Rambam famously writes, at the end of the Hilchos Megillah, Rambam famously writes that in thinking about asset allocation, I need to allocate even more of my discretionary income, of my Purim budget, to Matanos Avyonim, to the Mishloach Manos, and Sudas Purim. What's less famous, less focused upon sometimes, is the next line, when he explains why. Because we would have stopped there, we would have assumed, Simchas Purim is wonderful, Sudas Purim and Mishloach Manos, the Simchas Purim is wonderful, but taking care of someone else is more important than my own Simcha. Which is certainly true. But the Rambam doesn't say that. Right? Willick pointed out many, many years ago, the Rambam says it's all about Simcha. The Rambam says, I'm going to have greater Simcha. My own simcha will be greater when I give to someone else than when I put in my own stomach. My own simcha, it's a greater simcha that I draw from Matan Sevyonim. And then he goes on to explain further, and why is that? He says, because the simcha saguf is finite, because the guf is finite. But the simcha of giving, the Rambam writes, Rambam alludes to, the simcha of giving is the simcha of plugging into the divine model. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described by the Navi as he was Mechayeh, he resuscitates the heart and the spirit of those who are down, the heart and the spirit of those who are crushed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. And when I give my talents to Levyona, when I take care of someone else, I'm engaged in Rav Onosham's work, I'm now plugging into an infinite source of simcha. The simcha sanefesh of being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, activating my own Selam Elokim, that's a simcha of an Ein Sof. It's the greatest joy. The greatest joy. And on behalf of my colleagues, on behalf of our kehilos, it's our bracha and our tefila that your strength, your adir, should continue to contribute to your hadar, that the strength, the physical and the emotional and spiritual strength in the work that you do on behalf of all of us should continue to grow the beauty of your own neshamas, should continue to expand the simcha sanefesh that you have and that you share with your families. And the Mirza Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should very soon remove all the levushim. We should be zochet to very soon see the fulfillment of another pasuk in Yeshayahu, Bi'al Mabas L'Netzach, Amoch Hashem Elokim Dima Mi'al Kalpanim. May your work soon be no longer necessary. Thank you so much.